about to, let me tell you about the chicken grease. Stuff some things to make the people get out to see. Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. This Heritage Radio Network program is brought to you by Salumi Artesian Cured Meats. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring satisfying tidbits of food culture. Our show hosts real conversations from everyday people navigating our food system and weekly chats with leaders in the world of sustainable food. Today, we'll be talking Bed-Stuy Live and the frying pan. We've chatted with Brownstone Books, Hattie Carthen Garden, and referenced Shirley Chisholm. They all have one thing in common, the beloved neighborhood of Bedford-Stuyvesant, known to most as Bed-Stuy. Saturday, October 10th, will mark the fifth year of Bed-Stuy Alive Week. Bed-Stuy Alive promotes economic development, neighborhood pride, tourism, the fine arts, and the rich heritage of the people who live in Bedford-Stuyvesant, Brooklyn. In the studio, we have Frederica Hartley and Waleed Cope, members of the collective responsible for this year's festival. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for joining us. Please tell our listeners where Bed-Stuy is located in reference to Manhattan. We have people from all over the country that are listening and people that may be in Manhattan that want to come to Bed-Stuy. So please tell us.
Well, Bed-Stuy is like a stone throw away from Manhattan. I mean, on the ANC line, it's like a 15, 20-minute ride. It's very close. A lot of our residents who live in Bed-Stuy actually commute back and forth to different areas of the borough to work and also, you know, to play.
Great. I'm a resident of Bed-Stuy, and every day I discover a new factoid. Do you have any very cool or interesting neighborhood factoids to share with the listeners?
Wow. There's just so much great about Bed-Stuy. I just can't think of, you know, one fact to say that we could highlight. I mean, one thing is we have one of the largest housing stocks of brownstones, which I'm sure quite a lot of people know, which drives them to the neighborhood for the annual house tour that's held by the Brownstoners of Brooklyn, which is one of the groups that is part of the collective this year that's working with us on Bed-Stuy Alive. And it's so great that people open up their homes to everyone in the neighborhood, even people from outside. We get people from Park Slope, downtown Brooklyn, Bushwick, all the surrounding neighborhoods, and our neighbors right in Bed-Stuy, and they come in, go through all the homes, and they share the different ideas of how to decorate. Even some people open up their homes while they're during a renovation to show the before, the during, and the after. And it's just so great to see everyone come together like that.
I think now when you look at the song that's out, what's Jay-Z's song that's out that's really popular, Empire State of Mind? He's a Bed-Stuy resident. Can you please share with us some other famous people or notable folks that are from Bedford-Stuyvesant, Brooklyn? Yeah.
Is originally from Bed-Stuy. There are lots of artists that are originally from Bed-Stuy. Ernie Critchlow, part of the Fulton Art Fair, is from Bed-Stuy. And it's just a rich cultural community, and there's so many different and new things to see in the community. New restaurants, new businesses are popping up all the time. And so it's just an exciting place to be and an exciting place to witness the changes and the positive things that are going on in the community.
How did the idea of a week-long festival come about?
Well, I think this has started originally with one of our great members, unfortunately, who is no longer with us. Her name is Toma Faulkner. And we actually have an award that is in her honor that we give out during the street festival to a community member. It was definitely Toma's brainchild, and she came up with it one day when we were sitting at one of the committee meetings for the community board. And the whole thing came up is, how do we promote the businesses and highlight all that Bed-Stuy has to offer? And from that conversation and throwing different ideas around, Bed-Stuy Alive was born 5 years ago. And, you know, here we are today, still pushing strong, trying to make it bigger and better every year.
What makes this cultural event different from other neighborhood festivals in New York? There was a festival this past weekend that's been going on the past 35 years in Brooklyn. But what is it about Bed-Stuy Alive that makes it unique?
Well, I think one of the things that makes it unique is that the whole event came about because community residents wanted to do something and pull together to highlight the positives. You've heard so many negative things about Bed-Stuy, and we wanted to highlight the Bed-Stuy that we know and love. I'm born and raised in Bed-Stuy.
Oh, really?
And it's not the community that the media projects. It's a beautiful community with beautiful homes, beautiful people, and so we wanted to show the best of Bed-Stuy, and that's how it came to be into being. And it's just a beautiful event to see community people get together and focus on the positive things about our community, and we all working, and that we are all working together to bring it into being.
So, according to the website bedstuylive.org, the week long events range from a 5K run and walk, house tour, and live sets by Brooklyn hippest bands. Please feel free to share with the listeners and highlight some of the schedule of events for the entire week.
Well, there are different events like you spoke about, Nicole. We have the one-day events, and then we have the week-long events. And the two week-long events are, you know, the Taste of Bed-Stuy, which this year we're grateful is being sponsored by Bridge Street Development Corporation. And what we did is we went around to all the restaurants and eateries in Bedford-Stuyvesant, made them aware of Bed-Stuy Alive and all the benefits and how we all going to work together. And they all display a banner in the window, or let's say a poster that highlights Bed-Stuy Alive. And they offer some type of special during that week for the Bed-Stuy Alive week-long event. The same thing with the Shops of Bed-Stuy. This year, we're grateful that it was sponsored by the Bedford-Stuyvesant Restoration Corporation and Bridge Street Development Corporation. And the shops will also do the same thing. They'll display the logo, the banner in their shop, and they'll give specials to all their shoppers during that week long for Bed-Stuy Alive in their participation in the event.
I have to mention, I think, probably one of the coolest events that totally ties in local sustainability and health, the Healthy Heart Community Dance. Please tell me about that event. That is so cool.
Well, that event is sponsored by the Brownstoners of Bed-Stuy, and they came up with an idea to get the community moving, exercising, and doing something fun and exciting. And so Brenda Friesen came up with the idea of the cha-cha slide and getting the community involved. And this is the first time we're going to do an actual dance out in the street, so it should be interesting to see.
And is this supposed to be, and I think I read on the website, the largest cha-cha slide? Are we trying to, you know, break some records here?
That's our goal. We don't know how close we're going to come to it until the event actually happens, but that's one of our goals.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have anyone from the Guinness Book of World Records coming down. But, you know, just for us to claim the title to say we did it in Bed-Stuy at Bed-Stuy Live, I think we'll be happy with that.
That's great. So please tell me, I know on Sunday I'm thinking about doing the 5K run and walk. If people wanted to sign up for that, do you know where should they go and what are the requirements for the 5K run and walk?
Well, they can register right in front of Restoration. I didn't bring any of the forms with me, but they can sign up right at the event, and there's a telephone number they can call. But they can check out the website, and they can go to the Restoration's website to find out more information about it. But the run starts early in the morning, and it's a big event, and it should be very exciting.
Please tell our listeners exactly when you say Restoration, where exactly Restoration Plaza is located. And if you have the address, that would be great.
Well, Restoration Plaza is located on Fulton Street between Marcy Avenue and Brooklyn Avenue. And a lot of the residents probably know it by the location of the Citibank. There's a Chase Bank. There's also the Food Town, which has become very popular in the area for grocery shopping. And it's located right in the middle of one of our main retail strips on Fulton Street.
Okay.
And their website, just to go back to what you were saying earlier
about their website
for the 10K run, is www.restorationplaza.org. And their phone number, if you want to call up to get information on the 10K run, is 718-636-6953.
Guys, I want to definitely have you on the next segment. We're going to talk more about the taste of Bed-Stuy and food in Bed-Stuy. So after a short break, we'll come back with Frederica and Waleed from Bed-Stuy Alive.
Yeah, I'm out that Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow. But I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra. And since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem. All of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pull me back to that McDonald's. Took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus. Driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy. Home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata. Still sipping my ties, sitting courtside. Knicks and Nets give me high five. Nigga, I be spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely from Shit, I made the Yankee hat more famous than the Yankee can. You should know I bleed blue, but I ain't a crypto. But I got a gang of niggas walking with my click though. Welcome to the melting pot, corners where we selling rock. Africa been by the shit, home of the hip-hop. Yellow cap, gypsy cap, dollar cap, holla back. For foreigners, it ain't fair, they act like they forgot how to act. 8 million stories out there in the naked city. It's a pity half of y'all won't make it. Me, I got a plug special where I got it made. If Jesus paying LeBron, I'm paying Dwayne Wade. Three dice CeeLo, three card Marley. Labor Day parade, rest in peace Bob Marley. Statue of Liberty, long live the World Trade, long live the King. Yo, I'm from the Empire State. That's...
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check out our program schedule and show archives on heritageradionetwork.com. In the studio, we have Frederica Hartley and Waleed Cope of Bed-Stuy Alive. Bed-Stuy Alive is a joint venture between Bedford-Stuyvesant Artists Association, Bridge Street Development Corporation, the Brownstoners of Bedford-Stuyvesant Inc., Central Park Community Service, Community Board Number 3, Project 17 Realty and Associates, and Bedford-Stuyvesant Restoration Corporation. We must talk food in Bed-Stuy. The festival's Taste of Bed-Stuy features some of the best restaurants in all of New York City. One of my favorites is Peaches. We have an audio clip that we actually got from you guys' website. You have a great little section under Bed-Stuy Live called Bed-Stuy TV. And so we have a clip of chef and co-owner of Peaches Restaurant, Craig Samuel.
I started doing this just because I wanted to show people that Southern American food was so much more than fried chicken and mashed potatoes and macaroni and cheese. So this is a take on a classic Italian dish, prosciutto with melon. This is a Finchville Farm country ham. It's got that same texture as prosciutto, but a little bit stronger in flavor, certainly a little bit gamier. Generally, I find that the pinker the meat, the more flavor it has. The ad campaign in the mid-80s did a real disservice to the pork industry, and it's part of the reason that we have some of the problems that we have now with commodity pork. I mean, it was bred to be whiter, paler, less fatty, flavorless. You know, they wanted it to be able to pick up whatever you added to the dish. And I find that the pork that has the best flavor makes the dish. So we start with some fresh watermelon.
So let's talk about the newest food spots in Bed-Stuy, like Therapy Wine Bar. Is it Saragina?
Yes.
The pizza spot? Okay. And Sarah James.
Well, these are all fairly new restaurants or cafes that have opened up. which is a great enhancement to the community. And we look forward to, you know, patronizing them and them participating in Bed-Stuy Live. We're grateful that they've signed up and they're working along with us. And we also are grateful for the, you know, pioneers in the food industry that have, in a sense, you know, laid the pathway for the new restaurants that were coming up. And, you know, fortunately, some of the pioneer restaurants are still there. And unfortunately, some of them, you know, we've lost along the way during the hard economic conditions that we're in. But we're looking forward to new places opening up and some of the prior restaurants expanding and doing new and different things. I mean, we have a new one that's coming along now. I believe it's Orchard Cafe, which is on 212 Patchen Avenue. And I've heard a lot of talk, and people in the neighborhood are anticipating their opening, and there have been some good press about the different dishes that they're going to be offering. And we're glad to see that all these different restaurants who are participating in Bed-Stuy Live, there's such a wide variety of food. Because in some neighborhoods, you know, when things start to change and we see the residential boom because of the real estate market, and then we see a few years later that the retail follows it because now you have all these people in the neighborhood who are new and they start craving these new forms of food and entertainment, so then we see the retail pick up, that we don't just see one type. We see a variety of things to satisfy our residents and for our neighbors to come together and enjoy as a family and a community.
I must say that Sarah Ginna was featured in the July 20th issue of New York Magazine under the city's top 20 pies of the moment, along with several other restaurants that are in the city and some of the outer boroughs as well. You talked a little bit about pioneers and bringing people around the table in Bed-Stuy. Please share with us some of those pioneers in terms of restaurants and cafes that are participating in the Taste of Bed-Stuy and some that have gone on who were early pioneers in bringing diversity in terms of food and local food and local businesses to Bed-Stuy.
Okay, well, I don't know how long the Royal Rib House has been in the community, but they've been there a pretty long time. And the food is very good, and I think they've been they've had excellent clientele, and they've serviced the community for so many years. And then we also have the Sugar Hill Supper Club, who their food is excellent, and they've catered lots of community events. So we have those are the two that come to mind to me.
I definitely agree. You know, Sugar Hill.
Where's Sugar Hill Supper Club? Where is it located?
They're located at 615 DeKalb Avenue. And if you're familiar with the fairly new Home Depot, which is at the old Job Corps, the old IBM building with the Job Corps Center located underneath, they're located there right across the street. In the building right across the street from Home Depot is Sugar Hill Supper Club. And they've definitely been a staple in the community, I'd say, for many years. I mean, I'm lived in Bedford-Stuyvesant pretty much all my life. I was born and raised there. And I can always remember the older generations as well as the generation before me always talking about, you know, Sugar Hill, we're going there for a meeting, or the local community organizations were having their event catered. So Sugar Hill has definitely been there to support and provide for the community. And I can also think of, you know, another restaurant we unfortunately lost on Halsey Street near Throop Avenue, which was Shakur Sweet Tooth.
Yeah, I really hate that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? They've opened up a shop on Marcus Garvey.
Right.
They have a new shop that just recently opened up, and it's called Shakur. I think it's two, but it's another. They're back.
Great. That was one of the first spots when I moved here that I went to. I really hate that I'm glad that they're back. Glad to see that they're back. So, as you guys just mentioned, there's several pioneers and new folks that are coming into the neighborhood, creating places where people can get together and break bread. And we also have four farmers markets in the community. We've had Hattie Carthen Community Garden. We have a community garden at Weeksville. We also have Malcolm X. And I'm missing another one. There's a youth farmers market that's put on by Council on the Environment of New York. Do you still see voids in Bed-Stuy in terms with, you talked about the food town, but are there voids in terms of food in Bed-Stuy?
Oh, I have to say 100%. And this is a topic that we talked about not too long ago at one of the community board meetings and some of the smaller committee meetings also related to community board. is the concern for, you know, fresh produce and groceries for the residents of Bed-Stuy. And there's been a lot of talk about it in the media. I should say a lot of talk, but there's been some talk in the media about it in Bed-Stuy and how the residents really just have to rely on either the local bodegas or the corner store that is closest to them that carries a very limited amount of products. And they have to go outside the community shop. I mean, Food Town is great. It's accessible. It's right on Fulton Street. There's a lot of transportation. They have parking. But sometimes you want to go a little above and beyond, especially now that everyone's really focusing on being health conscious and thinking organic. And we have the farmers markets, which are great, and I believe they are a great addition to the community. But I think we also have to start looking at maybe starting to get more of the information out to the residents so we are aware of the healthy food that is there, especially with the locally grown stuff. I mean, there's a lot of things at the farmer's market that I was blown away to find out that they're grown right on lots right in Bedford-Stuyvesant, and it's sustainable, which is tremendously great for the community. And also I found at a community board meeting that at the farmer's market, they're accepting the EBT cards that a lot of people have for the food program sponsored by the city. And they also get a bonus when they use it there.
Totally. We talk a lot, some of the other shows on Heritage Radio Network. We have someone from publicity, from the farmers market, from the Council on the Environment farmers market, constantly in here on shows talking about accepting EBT and the Healthy Bucks program. So I think all of those things are vital for communities like Bed-Stuy. I have a final question for both of you guys. How do you respond to an individual with a bewildered look when you say, both of you guys are born and raised, when you say, I'm born and raised in Bedford-Stuyvesant, Brooklyn? What do you say, knowing all of the positive things that are going on in Bedford-Stuyvesant, Brooklyn? How do you respond?
That's an interesting question. I think it's hard to respond being an insider. I've always lived in Bed-Stuy. I've seen lots of things going on in the community, and I see lots of positive things. The new restaurants coming into being, the new businesses that, you know, weren't there growing up. I remember shopping, always having to shop outside of my neighborhood. So I'm really happy that I can shop in my neighborhood now, and just to see people hanging out in the community and not going outside is the biggest plus, and it's just really, it just makes me happy to see that that's going on in the community, that we're staying there, we're hanging out there, we're patronizing the restaurants, and I see that as a plus.
Great. Frederica, Waleed, thank you for joining us in the studio. Please give our listeners Bed-Stuy Live's website and any contact information of how to get more. Twitter, I know you guys are on Twitter. Phone numbers or anything for more information about Bed-Stuy Live.
Sure, and anyone can call in. And, you know, our event, the Street Fair, which is the kickoff for Bed-Stuy Live, is Saturday, October the 10th. From 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And anyone that's interested in coming out and, you know, tasting and seeing what Bed-Stuy is about, whether you live there or you live outside the community, or maybe you're a neighbor of the community, we welcome everyone to come through. And you can get more information. You can call us at 718-622-6601, or you can visit us online at www.bedstuyalive.org. And if you're interested in, you know, being a vendor at Bed-Stuy Live, it's never too late. Give us a call, log onto our website, download the form, fill it out, and get it in, and we'll be glad to have you at our street fair.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be back after a short break.
pray. And you let me know this dark night won't last always. Cause in the morning,
you'll be alright.
Oh, you'll be in the morning.
The sun's gonna shine.
Shine, shine, yeah, yeah, yeah.
No clouds in the sky.
No clouds in the sky. So many nights you cried, life was breaking your heart. It may seem real hard, ain't no help.
Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is produced by Jack Inslee and engineered by Nat Wiener. This program is sponsored by Salami Artisan Cured Meats of Seattle. It's a specialty meat curing factory and deli serving specialty Italian lunch items. Salami cured meats are homemade, then cured in the state-of-the-art self-designed curing rooms, manufactured to simulate humidity, temperature, and airflow of a typical Italian basement, attic, or even barn. This live radio show is archived into audio bits and pieces and searchable by keywords or phrases. After the live broadcast, enter the frying pan and you will be directed to this segment of Hot Grease. The frying pan segment profiles who's bringing home the bacon and how many slices being fried. In other words, we highlight the food budgets of couples and families neck deep in the sustainable food culture, or couples and families who are taking the leap into the good food movement. On the phone, we have Tawana, a married 32-year-old mother of four. She is taking the leap. Tawana, welcome to Hot Grease.
Hi, thank you for having me.
We know you have kids. Please provide our listeners with the ages of your children.
Well, my oldest is four. I have a 3-year-old, I have a 19-month-old, and I have a 6-month-old.
Explain child/daycare schedule and what meals your children are receiving away from home.
Well, my oldest is now in pre-K, so he receives his breakfast, his lunch, and his snack at school. My 3-year-old, my 19-month-old, and 6-month-old all go to a home daycare, in which she provides them breakfast, lunch, and snack as well.
So help me out here. What meals are you preparing daily?
I pretty much prepare dinner, or we may go out for dinner depending on, you know, if I'm in the mood for cooking.
What typically is on the dinner plate?
We usually try to have a meat, a vegetable, and a starch following that basic food pyramid. We do a lot of chicken and fish because it's not as heavy as the beef and pork. We try to do the fresh frozen vegetables and a rice or maybe some homemade mashed potatoes. It's very basic.
So, on average, how much is your weekly grocery bill?
On average, we may spend about $50 a week just in groceries to get the simple things that we're getting, the meat, which costs the most, and then, you know, a bag of potatoes and some vegetables, probably store brand vegetables.
So before the show, you noted that Women, Infants, and Children Program, also known as WIC, is a part of your food budget. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture's website, WIC's mission is to safeguard the health of women, infants, and children up to age 5 who are at a nutrition risk by providing nutritious foods to supplement diet, information on healthy eating, and referrals to health care. Women, Infants, and Children is not an entitlement program as Congress does not set aside funds to allow every eligible individual to participate in the program. WIC is a federal grant program for which Congress authorizes a specific amount of funds each year for the program. You debunk every stereotype about food assistance program. You're married and college educated. What are your thoughts?
I don't have a problem with getting WIC. I would love to get food stamps if I could, but you know, a lot of times our taxes, you know, are taken out of our check to help provide for these programs. And sometimes some people don't feel that they would benefit them. But when you have more children, you begin to realize it is hard to feed them. Even infant formula, if I were to just get it for my babies when they are babies, the infant formula is not cheap. And if you can't afford it and you meet those income requirements, I suggest going to get the WIC because it's there to help you.
So do you think the new WIC approved food lists in your state with the wheat bread, tofu, brown rice, soy milk, fresh fruits and vegetables will encourage families to think about meals differently?
It may. I like, you know, the new changes. And it just really is a part of knowing what's available to you. Some people don't apply for WIC because they feel that they don't meet the income requirements. But the question is, do they really know what those requirements are? So I went to the website myself to see what those income requirements are and to look at my own text up, you know, before going down to the office. Or, you know, some people may feel embarrassed or something like that. But before going down to the office, I looked the information up myself and decided that WIC was something that we were going to apply for.
Yeah, I did have a chance for your state to look at the requirements. I think most people would be shocked for a family of six what the income was. It's not what people actually think. It's not a very low income in most states. Tawana, thank you for being a part of the Frying Pan on the Hot Grease and for sharing your information in terms of your family.
You're very welcome.
Thank you and have a great afternoon.
Thank you. No problem.
Thank you again for listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. This program was sponsored by Salumi, artisan cured meats. For more information on Salumi's unique, delicious products, visit salumicuredmeats.com. Until next Monday at 3:30, remember, always take the road less traveled.